Turn your Bibles this morning, if you will, to 2 Chronicles chapter 25. We're going to spend our time here this morning. I appreciate the meditation verse, and you will see the relevance of it as we get into the scripture this morning. The 2 Chronicles chapter 25, as you make your way there, I have a short writing for you. I give credit to Ravi Zacharias as the one from which I derived this. It reads this way. Some years ago, a fire broke out during an Air Canada flight from Dallas to Toronto. The pilot began a dramatic and a sudden descent, knowing he had but a few moments to land if any were to survive. As soon as they opened the door for rescue, the whole aircraft turned into an inferno. There were some fatalities. Some suffered severe burns. But because of the skill of the crew and the commitment of the captain, who, by the way, this captain was the last one to be pulled out of the airplane. He was pulled through a window. As he was pulled through the window, his uniform was on fire. But the last one to leave. Now consider that, and then listen to the next little writing. In April of 2014, a ferry in Seoul, South Korea, it capsized and it killed hundreds. I would imagine that many of you all remember that. Most of the passengers were not much younger than you are. They were high school students who ultimately drowned while waiting for instructions to abandon the ship. The captain himself had already fled the vessel. He was on safe, dry ground, and there would be no celebration. No commendation of a brave man, just a series of wrong decisions and wrong choices that resulted in the ultimate wrong decision of a man who put his own needs first. Now, even as I read those two, obviously they are starkly contrasting stories. But I want to make just a couple of fairly obvious observations about the two gentlemen who were in charge. On the outside, if you were to run into either one of these men, now I don't know them, I've never seen them, but if you were to run into them, I would imagine that having the rank of captain, they would have been dressed nice, they would have looked good, they would have walked and spoke with a sense of authority, and you would have had a hard time really differentiating between them because they looked the part. One was a man of bravery and honor, an obvious leader with a servant's heart. The other was a man of cowardice and shame. He had a selfish heart. It's quite a contrast in two different people. I want you to keep that in mind as we learn today out of 2 Chronicles chapter 25. Because we're going to learn about a man by the name of Amaziah. Now, he was the ninth king out of 20, who would reign over the southern kingdom of Judah following Solomon's death. This would have been before the period they go into captivity to the Babylonians. Again, ninth and 20. You know, history bears out the fact that some of the kings were godly, and I'm sure you're learning this in your classes. Some of them were not godly. Matter of fact, you might even call them wicked. And there were some who were, we will call them, conflicted. Because they would have godly actions, and at the same time, they would do some very wicked things. I believe Amaziah falls into the category of conflicted. Dr. Penner, I hope I'm getting this correct. Okay. Amaziah was a man who was a contrast of character within himself. Within himself. He was a man living and serving with a divided heart. You know, I know that you all have been focusing this year on the theme of the servant's invincible heritage. And I know, based upon that theme, you have heard many wonderful sermons. I propose to you today that a servant who desires to carry forward the godly heritage that has been passed down through the ages, of course, beginning with the only invincible Jesus Christ, will be able to do so in an excellent way only if he or she serves the Lord with a heart that is whole, a wholehearted devotion. Now, I confess to you, I'm not a prophet, not a son of a prophet. But if history is any indication, there are young people attending this college right now who will, time will bear out, that you will go on to live incredible lives for the Lord. There will be pastors, missionaries, laymen who serve in the church. We need godly laymen who serve in the church. And there will be some of you who will do that with a spirit of excellence. You will carry it forward from this institution, and you will go and you will serve and you will be blessed. But sadly, I also would say that history has bore out. There may be some here today who will leave this fine institution, and your heritage will not look quite the same. I say that with a great degree of sadness. Some will be torn between two worlds. You might even be sitting here this morning, and as I speak these words, you're thinking, you know, that's me. On the outside, I looked the part. I can wear the suit. I can do all that's required of me by all these wonderful professors. On the inside, you're wondering, do I really want to give my entire life to Jesus Christ? Young folks, I tell you, without reservation or hesitation, you will find no satisfaction and you will enjoy no success in life without a wholehearted commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hence, we come to our verse. I'm going to read Mark chapter 12, and I'm going to read verse 29, and then verse 30 as it follows. And I know you're in 2 Chronicles, so don't turn from there. But Jesus, he gives this response response to a question of a scribe. Verse 29 reads this way, and Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." In other words, this is the chiefest commandment. This is, I believe, what God expects of His servants. And I don't mind telling you, I don't think it's unreasonable. I don't think it's asking too much. Today we're going to learn about the devastation of a divided heart from 2 Chronicles 25. I'm going to read the text as we go through. I'm going to try to make it all the way to verse 16. We'll see how that works out. And I just invite you to bow your heads as I pray to begin this morning. Heavenly Father, as I stand here today, I do so as a weak individual. Lord, I confess that I don't always do the right thing. Matter of fact, I often do the wrong thing. Lord, I'm sorry for that. Father, I have a desire to serve you with all of my heart. I pray that you will help me to relay this message today to these young folks. And if there are some here today who are struggling, Lord, I pray that today will be the day when they turn that around. We ask that your will would be accomplished through the power of your Holy Spirit for the sake of your name. And we give you the glory for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice with me today, young folks, if you take notes, and I know that you're encouraged to do so, we're going to look at three characteristics of the divided heart. The first characteristic that we're going to see is that a divided heart is, first, wholly incomplete. That's W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly incomplete. With that, notice with me chapter 25, verses 1 and 2. And Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoadon of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now, if I could just tell you quickly just a little bit about this man, I want you to know that, we read that he comes to the throne at 25 years of age. An amazing age to be running a kingdom, right? Not much older than many of you all are today. His life was filled with promise. He comes to the throne after the death of his dad, who was actually assassinated. And then we read this incredible verse. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a whole heart, or as the King James Version says, not with a perfect heart. If you look at the New American Standard, it's going to say whole. And the idea is this, young people. He served the Lord not with a loyal heart. Well, obviously, as we read the verse 2, we see that the first part of the description is commendable. But the second part leaves a lot to be desired. You know that passage we read out of Mark chapter 12, of course, that's based off the Shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6. You understand that. I know you're Bible college students. But I want you to understand that the Hebrew people, they knew that the Lord expected a wholehearted devotion. But in Amaziah, he would struggle with that. So it's wholly incomplete. Will you notice with me point number 2? Second characteristic of a divided heart is that it is also highly inconsistent. Now, we're going to see this inconsistency in a couple of different ways here in the text. First, we're going to notice that he makes some great choices. And I love pointing out the great choices. Look at verses 3 and 4 with me, if you will. Now, it came to pass when the kingdom was established to him, that he slew his servants that had killed the king his father. He slew not their children, but did as it is written in the law in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sins. So at first he makes some great choices. He is firmly on the throne. It's established to him. That's the idea. He is firmly entrenched in his position. As we read, one of his first recorded acts was the execution of those servants who were responsible for the assassination of his father. But understand, he does an incredible thing in verse 4 because he doesn't kill those people's families. You see, young folks, can I tell you, the culture of that day would have expected and required that a man who comes onto the throne would take out not only those who killed his dad, but those of their families as well. They would take them all out. That was the cultural expectation. He doesn't follow the custom of the day. I love that. And what he does is he bases this choice, I believe, on the clear word of God. Of course, we read that in verse 4. And that is a reference to Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 16. So in the beginning, it seems as though as he began his reign, that he really respected and he obeyed the word of God. It's to be commended. Do you realize that we, like Amaziah, will regularly make choices in life? We will either fear God and keep His commandments, young people, or we will follow God and keep His commandments, or we will fail at that. And if we fail to do that, if we fail to stand on the Word of God, we are going to instead fulfill man's expectations. Can I tell you today, a wise Christian is one who is going hard after Christ, who knows the unchanging Word of God. So, now get this, so that the changing whims of our increasingly wicked society do not impact the decisions that we make. You see, he could have went along with what everybody expected him to do, but he didn't. So at first, he was on board with God's Word. Secondly, I want you to notice not only that, but he also heeded God's messenger. Notice with me verses 5 and 6. Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captains over thousands, captain over hundreds, according to the houses of their fathers, throughout all Judah and Benjamin. He numbered them from 20 years old and above, found them 300,000 choice men able to go forth to war, that could handle spear and shield. He also hired 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. But notice this, verse 7, but there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel to go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it. Be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down. Now we'll stop there for just a moment. Let me explain the situation. I'm going to do it for you fairly quickly. Amaziah has made plans as the king to go to war against the Edomites. This will be revealed a little further in the text. He takes a census. He finds out he's got 300,000 folks. Now that sounds like a lot of people. Okay, but in his opinion, it's not enough. The Edomites are a powerful group. So he thinks, well, I'll go out and I'll hire 100,000, we'll call them mercenaries. And I'll hire 100,000 mercenaries to come and to help us. Now, in order to do that, he pays a huge sum of money. You realize the amount of money that he paid, the amount of silver that he paid, would have been equal to about 4 tons of silver. Let me put that in perspective for you. If we were to line up in front of Anderson Hall out here underneath the porch, we would line up 8 half-ton pickup trucks. And somebody had a backhoe and they were to start digging out silver money into buckets. They would go and they would fill up the back of these trucks, 8 of them, one right after the other. And they would be completely filled with silver. It is an amazing amount of money. Well, the money will come into play. You see, because we don't read where he seeks the advice of God, but God in his grace, he sends a messenger to him. And the man of God makes it clear, we've already read that, that if he goes forth with this unholy alliance, that God will not be with him in that. Defeat would be the result. Young folks, can I tell you that the power of God and the success of God's servants is not dependent upon numbers nor mankind's reasoning ability. You know where success is found? It's in following God's clearly revealed will as we find in His Word. What a man of God, he's given the king great and godly counsel. It seems as though Amaziah is listening. He's listening, but he's worried about the money. Notice verse 9. Amaziah said to the man of God, "But what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel?" And the man of God answered, notice this, "The Lord is able to give thee much more than this." Here's the question. What about the money? Right? Is that not often the question in life? What am I going to do? Well, what about the money? What are we going to do about this or that? Are we going to trust the Lord or are we not going to trust the Lord? You see, that's where Amaziah is at. But the man of God tells him, he says, look, forget about the money. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. You know, the reality is, and you know the New Testament bears this out, but we're to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. The idea is that God will provide for our needs. Young folks, can I tell you that He has provided for my needs over and over and over and over and over and over again? I could share stories and stories and stories and stories of our time here at college and beyond. God provides for our needs. And we need not compromise our convictions for a few dollars more. You all are familiar with Chick-fil-A, right? Anybody here go to Chick-fil-A? Right. Do you ever go on Sunday? That's a joke in our family. I used to tell my wife and kids, they love a Chick-fil-A milkshake. And we'd be riding around, I'd say, "You guys want a milkshake?" Say, "Yeah, you want a Chick-fil-A milkshake?" "Yeah." I say, "Oh, it's Sunday. You can't get a Chick-fil-A milkshake on Sunday, right?" You remember that, April? Yeah. You know the founder of Chick-fil-A, Truett Cathy, he founded it in 1948. Do you realize people probably thought he was insane by not being open on Sundays? There's an article I could read. We don't really have time. But I'll just tell you, I'll just skip to it. You know, this man, Truett Cathy, he's passed away now. It's pretty sad how his life ended up, really. He died in September of 2014, and here's the tragedy. As a result of putting God first in his life, he actually died only being worth $1.9 billion. Boy, it really cost him, didn't it? Wow, incredible. We need not compromise our convictions. So what's Amaziah going to do? Well, that's what it boils down to, right? Well, notice verses 11 through 13 with me. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll let you read that on your time. I better skip ahead. I only have a few minutes left. I will just tell you, Amaziah chose to heed God's word and the word from God's messenger. Incredible, commendable. And he sent those guys home. Now, they did some wicked things on the way. You can read about it. But what I want to do is get to the part where Amaziah fails. So I want you to notice not only did he make some commendable choices, but he also committed condemnable rebellion. And we see that in the fact that he worshiped false idols. Notice verse 14. Now it came to pass after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir, set them up to be his gods. And he bowed down himself before them and burned incense unto them. So if you notice in verse 15, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah. But you know what? God could have killed him right there, could have struck him down. Because obviously Amaziah, knowing God's word, knows that thou shalt have no other gods before me, right? But he could have struck him down right there. He does it. You know what he did? He sent another man of God to him. Verse 15 says that he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, Why hast thou sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? And it came to pass as he talked with him, that the king said unto him, Art thou made of the king's counsel? Forbear, why shouldest thou be smitten? Then the prophet forbear, but notice he said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee because thou hast done this and hast not hearkened unto my counsel. So he did two things there. Number one, he followed hard after idols. Makes no sense. By the way, sin never makes sense. He chose to refuse God's messenger, so he rejected God's word. He's conflicted. Some good choices, some horrible choices. So he's wholly incomplete. He's highly inconsistent. Notice with me point three. This leads to the fact that it is ultimately destructive. Characteristic of a divided heart is it is ultimately destructive. We don't have time to read it. I really didn't plan on it. Take your time, read the remainder of the chapter. You're going to find out this man Amaziah, he suffered defeat. He was taken captive. He lost his possessions. He hurt his own people. Eventually, he followed in the footsteps of his dad because he was assassinated by his own people. That is a tragedy. The devastation of a divided heart. The question is, young folks, and this is what I got to have to get to, how can I avoid the devastation of a divided heart? Well, be reminded that, as I told you in the beginning, a servant of the Lord who desires to carry forward a godly heritage that has been passed down by Jesus Christ to His followers through the centuries. You can only do that if you serve the Lord with all of your heart. There's a choice to be made. There always is. We face them every day. History ultimately labeled Amaziah as a, in my words, conflicted servant. My challenge today is, young folks, when your life comes to a conclusion, and when my life comes to a conclusion, how will history, and much more importantly, how will the Lord remember us? How will the Lord judge our lives? May we be known as faithful servants who willingly give our whole hearts in service to the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a joy, what a privilege is mine. Lord, I pray today for those within the hearing of this message who are living conflicted lives. Father, I pray that today they will repent of this sin. They will be forgiven as you have promised to forgive us. They will turn from it and turn to a life lived for you. We thank you, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.